The reading is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jesus sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the crowds stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds. Some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and brought forth grain, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, and in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I remember growing up, and I'm still in that household where the little paper packets with beautiful flowers on the front, usually that says Sutton's on the front of it. And you know the sort of thing I'm on about? My wife has them now, and of course my mother had them as they were growing up. And I used to be intrigued by these little packets where you look in and sometimes just tiny, tiny grains of seeds. And sometimes they were bigger, but depending on what they were growing. But these fascinated me. I didn't grow up to be a horticulturist. They didn't fascinate me that much. I was more interested in football. But it was one of the things that I was, ooh, it's interesting, isn't it? And I can imagine, Debbie does this, and I don't know if you use these seeds. You get them out on the palm of your hand, and you carefully, how do you do it? You know, some of them are tiny, aren't they? And you just sort of put them, dig a little hole and put them in, and then dip a little. You get even a dipper, don't you? I've seen Monty Don on telly. And there you go, put some all in. And they grow. This is not like the parable today with the little packets of seeds. In this parable, and it struck me quite late on in life, that the sower here is an extravagant sower. He isn't just keeping to the rows that he's made on the fields. He's getting big handfuls and throwing it everywhere. Boom! He must have loads of the stuff, and he's throwing it everywhere. He's being extravagant with his sowing his seeds. And Jesus tells us, when his disciples ask, we missed that bit out, but his disciples say, what on earth were all that about, Jesus? And so Jesus tells them, he's saying, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. We can be extravagant with the word of God. We can cast it out to everywhere, and you never know what might come back. Jesus, or God, is generous with his invitation. I've lost my sermon notes. There we go. Started without me. He's generous with his is extravagant even with his invitation. And the word, the seed is the word. Put simply, it's the message of God. It's God's good news that Jesus Christ is bringing God's kingdom, and it can be found through him. That's the message. Once again, Jesus is saying, look, if you want to know God, look to me. That's what Jesus is saying. God has sent a rescue package. And this word, through Christ, is God's rescue package for a broken world. If you remember, right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus stood up in a synagogue in Nazareth, and he said, this is why I'm here, to bring freedom to the captive, to healing to those that are sick, to the sight, to the blind. And he reeled off a list of things that he was here to do, to bring the kingdom, to preach the kingdom, to preach the word of God, to spread this seed. And if we read Paul's letter to the Romans, as Peter did earlier on, we can see that message beautifully encapsulated. This is the seed. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Imagine it's the scene of a courtroom, and you're in the dock, and you're accused of all sorts of things, but the judge says there is therefore now no condemnation. We tend to condemn, and I'm speaking to myself here, we tend to condemn ourselves lots, don't we, as Christians? We're forgiven people, but we still tend to condemn. And the devil often taps me on the shoulder and says, shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have reacted like that. You shouldn't be doing this. You're not a real Christian. Does anyone ever get that? When the devil taps on your shoulder and says, you're not really a Christian. You're a real Christian. Won't do that. Do you know what Paul says in the chapter before this? In chapter 7, if you read towards the end of chapter 7, even Paul struggles with this, and he says, there's things I want to do, and I end up not doing them, and there's things I don't want to do, and I end up doing them. In other words, things I want to do, like helping the poor, and going to church, and being a good Christian, and I end up not doing them, and the things that I don't want to do, like, you know, drinking too much, or being mean to someone, or whatever you might, you know, decide, I end up doing them. We all fail at some point, but Jesus says, I'm not excusing sin here, by the way. If you read the rest of chapter 8, it goes on to say, and that's no excuse for sin. But in the end, Jesus says there is, Paul says that through Jesus there is no condemnation. What a wonderful free moment. And that's the same, not just for ourselves, but we're pretty good at condemning others too, aren't we, sometimes? But if we're in Christ Jesus, and if they are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So that's the seed. What a great message, don't you think? Someone say, hallelujah, brother! You don't have to. And then so that's the first bit of the parable I see, is that the extravagance of God's love in this world, and as he casts out, he's not bothered how much seed he's using, he's casting out all this seed. And the next bit is what the seed is, the word of God, telling us that we are set free, that we can be set free in Jesus. The third one is our reaction, and this is the telling one, really, our reaction, and all the different seeds landing in all the different places. First of all, don't forget this is a different time, so I'm going to adapt it really for our time. So first of all, we have the seed that lands on the path. Now Jesus says these are for those who, does not hear the word. Well, there's all sorts of reasons why people don't hear the words. And I think in modern day Western countries, people don't hear the words because they're not bothered. They're too well off. They're too comfortable. Not enough people are searching for God. They couldn't care less. So long as they've got a nice bank account, a nice car, so long as their life's sorted out, who needs God? Who needs God? And so lots of people, I think this is the biggest category nowadays. We have wide paths in our modern Western world. That a lot of the things just land on the wide path. Who needs God? Everyone needs God. Not everyone thinks they do. And then the second is, the seed went onto the rocky places. This is great. I've known lots of people like this who receive the word and they go, yes, hallelujah, God is great. And they jump around saying, yes, what can I do? I'm a Christian now, this is what I want to do. But then the first hurdle comes, and they sort of wither away. They've grown up too quick, and the roots aren't there. They're surface Christians only. They're sort of laminates. They're that deep. Maybe quite wide, but they're that deep. Christianity is not a magic pill. Imagine if my message today was, if you become a Christian, nothing bad will happen to you from now on in. There'd be a buzzer going, liar. He's talking out of his rear end again. Because that's not the case. We all know that actually life gets difficult from time to time. Being a Christian doesn't save us from that. And if we're not rooted Christians, we don't stand much chance of surviving. But if we're rooted in Christ, all you've got to do is read out the Psalms. And they're saying, oh Lord, will you listen to me? What's going on? If we're rooted in Christ, then we've got a better chance of surviving. But those in the rocky places, boom, dead. Then the next seeds went among the thorns. someone whose priorities always lie somewhere else. They grow up, but they're getting choked by other things. Sometimes it's just the pressures of life, just managing and coping with the life itself. But other times it's wealth or sex or something that's so enticing that it becomes the most important thing and chokes out the growth of the seed into wheat or whatever the seed's going to grow into. Some people get choked by the lures of this world and they get taken away. But the last category, the good ground, someone who hears the word, doesn't become perfect, isn't protected from all bad things, but someone who hears the word, and not only hears it, but lives it, grows it, becomes strong, and produces fruit, ultimately, and understands and lives it. My prayer this morning is that is the seed that how the word will act in our lives, in my life, and in your life. Where's the seed landing in your heart right now? Is it in good soil, rocky soil, paths, weeds? In September, we're starting, all being well, we're starting a start course, beginning an inquiries course, and called Start. It's a bit like the moving on course, but it's called the Start Course, written by the same person. If you want to come to that, it's a great course to start coming. And it's also a great course to invite someone to. We're going to spread out that, cast out them seeds. Everyone you can think of inviting, and see where that seed's landed. You know, sometimes, probably a lot of the time, it'll land on the path, or in the rocky places, or with the weeds.